Well, hello and welcome to the Whole Life Podcast, also now called the Heart Journey Podcast. We are on a heart journey, and the Lord is bringing us into a place of having one heart and one mind toward Him and with Him. And He's also bringing us into a place of one heart with one another. How beautiful. And the process of bringing of our heart going on a journey to being one heart and mind with Him and with our fellow believers is a process of healing and discipleship. It is spiritual formation, it's transformation. And today we're going to talk about the garden story behind codependency and the freedom Jesus offers. Have you heard the term codependency? Are you wondering what it means? Are you wondering if you are codependent? Well, in this series on codependency, from codependence to Christ dependence, today we're going to talk about, are you loving or losing yourself? Are you loving or losing yourself? You're like, Dr. Barbara, we're not supposed to love ourselves. Yes, you are in Christ. You see, if Jesus is inside of you, loving you and saying, you must forgive, you must love, including yourself, and you are in rebellion against that, and you're like, no, I'm going to hate myself. I'm going to beat myself up. I'm going to condemn myself. You are in disobedience, and the Lord wants you one with Him. So today we're going to start to talk about what codependency is and start on an initial path to freedom. I say initial because this is going to be a several-part series. I have a lot of content, and I'm not totally sure how many episodes we're going to end up with as we wrap up this series. But today we're starting the series. Are you loving or losing yourself? Jesus wants to take you from codependence to Christ dependence and to freedom. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Losobe. I am a minister who also happens to be a psychologist. I'm a trauma specialist, author, national speaker, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm really glad to be with you today on the Heart Journey podcast, where psychology meets the supernatural love of Jesus. Getting free from codependence is about Jesus. It's about surrendering our life to Jesus more. You see, what is at the center of our life really matters. And selfish ambition is at the root of all quarreling and all relational distress. But when we put Jesus at the center and we are abiding in the vine, we enter into so much freedom. We're going to go back into the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to show you that codependency was there in that scene of first sin. I also want to start out this podcast reminding us that the Trinity is very dependent on one another, the Father, Son, and Spirit. They have different roles, but they flow together. They're very interdependent, and yet they're not codependent, and they are our example. So, first of all, let's identify what the problem is. What is codependency? And we're going to go through a myriad of definitions because it's really hard to wrap our mind about what codependency is. I do want you to note that control is at the root of all this. And sometimes that control is overt. You know when someone's trying to control you, but other times we're trying to control more covertly with silence or silent treatment or pulling back. We're trying to gain a sense of control outside of the Lord. All right. So Merriam-Webster Dictionary says a codependency is a psychological condition or relationship in which a person is controlled or manipulated by another who is affected by a pathological condition, such as an addiction, or in which one's self-esteem and emotional needs are dependent on another's approval. Okay. Notice the end of that definition leaves out the person being addicted. The another person being addicted. Frankly, I believe we all have addictions because sin is addictive. But this dependence on another's approval is at the root of our codependency. So here, external control replaces internal grounding, and identity and safety depend on another's behavior, approval, and we can get hypervigilant looking for that. Okay, Melody Beattie from Codependent No More, 1986, says codependency means being obsessed. Obsessed. Think about when your mind starts thinking about going around the circle, thinking about how to get your needs met, or if that person should apologize, or what you would say to that person. Being obsessed with controlling another's behavior. All that worry is actually an attempt to control the situation so that we can get what we want from that person. We think that thinking about it will make us feel better, and we lose ourselves in the process. She also writes, codependencies are those who have let another person's behavior affect them and are obsessed with controlling that person's behavior. Key idea here is that losing self and freedom in an attempt to manage someone else's chaos. Now, you would say, well, how is that selfish ambition? It's selfish ambition because if I fix your chaos, I will feel better. It's not true love because God's love reaches out to heal our chaos, but never loses himself and never does it so he will feel better. But he does it out of pure, unadulterated love toward us. Al-Anon family groups from the 12-step literature. Al-Anon family groups are groups that help people who love those who are addicted to alcohol. They say when we focus on another person's illness or behavior to the point of neglecting our own well-being, we are practicing codependency. So here, the hyper-focus on another's dysfunction creates self-neglect and it's misplaced caregiving. Adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families, another 12-step group, also known as ACA, says when we grow up in dysfunctional homes, we become approval seekers and we have lost our identity in the process. Have you lost your identity in seeking approval? It also says we confuse love and pity and tend to love people we can rescue. When something goes wrong in a relationship, a primary relationship that you are involved in, what is your immediate response? Is your immediate response to go quiet and shrink away? Is your immediate response to fix it real quick? Or is your immediate response to take it to the Lord and ask him for wisdom and what to do? Because he is your primary source. Doctors Henry Cloud and John Townsend, in their Boundaries book from 1992, say codependency is taking responsibility for another person's feelings, behaviors, and choices while neglecting our own God-given boundaries. They emphasize that we are responsible to people and not for people. And they talk about this. Scriptures in Galatians 6, where it talks about carry one another's burdens. That word means excessive burdens, too heavy for one person to carry. And it also says each person should carry their own load or daily backpack. So in Heart Journey, we work on making sure we're not doing for others what they can do for themselves, and we're carrying our own backpack. And then also that we're getting help for things that are excessive and we're available when we have the energy and strength to help others with their excessive loads. We get into trouble when we either don't carry our own backpack and take responsibility for our own life, and or we try to help other people carry their daily load that they should be carrying. And so we're enabling them. Sometimes we even don't want to carry our daily load, but instead want to, and we neglect doing the things we need to do so that, because we're busy carrying other people's daily loads. Everyone needs to pay their own bills, so to speak. Pia Melody in Facing Codependency in 1989 said, "Codependency is the condition of immaturity in which a person's self-esteem, boundaries, reality, dependency, and moderation are impaired." She outlines five core symptoms. These are insightful. Difficulty with experiencing appropriate self-esteem, difficulty with setting functional boundaries. Boundaries are about what I will or will not tolerate. So boundaries are, hey, you can drink all you want to, but I'm not going to get in the car with you and I'm not going to be around you drunk. So I'm not trying to control the person, I'm trying to make myself safe. Difficulty with owning reality. Difficulty with acknowledging one's own needs and wants, difficulty experiencing and expressing reality in moderation. Sometimes when I'm in session with someone that struggles with codependency, I'll ask them, "How are you? How is your heart?" And they will tell me how other people are in their lives because it's hard to identify how am I because I'm so tied up with how other people are. So here we see codependency is a developmental trauma, and we're frozen in a stage of emotional immaturity, and we haven't differentiated to become our own person, carry our own load, and let other people carry their own load. It's the opposite of abiding in Christ, of staying in the place of peace, which is our power. It's the opposite of drinking from the vine and letting fruit just come out of our lives. Instead, we're trying to siphon what we need from people. And we're thinking if we control, if we fix, if we manipulate, if we control, then we're going to be able to feel better and get what we need from them. And sometimes it is very sneaky. Because sometimes we're thinking, if I can just control your chaos and get you out of chaos and help you, I'll feel better. But it's really because I can't stand the chaos inside me. And I can't stand the chaos they're creating. So I have to fix and control them so I can feel better. Beloved, there are healthier ways to do it and to set healthier boundaries. John Bradshaw from Healing the Shame That Binds You from 1998 says codependency is a shame-based identity disorder, the loss of true self. As we're reading all these definitions, it in a way we can make codependency pathological and we can pathologize it, but I want to bring this home to the idea that we are all codependent. And when we get into the story of Adam and Eve in the garden here shortly, we're going to see that, wow, the first sin started out with codependency. This is foundational in humanity, in as far as the sinful nature. The American Psychological Association defines codependency as a pattern of behavior in which one person enables another person's addiction, poor mental health, immaturity, irresponsibility, or underachievement. The National Institute on Drug Abuse adds codependent relationships are marked with excessive emotional or psychological reliance on a partner, typically one who requires support due to an illness or addiction. All right, now I'm going to give a theological definition that is from my studies. So this is me, Dr. Barbara, paraphrasing, but codependency is misplaced dependence when the heart turns from God from the Lord, the Trinity, as source, and seeks life, love, and validation from people instead. We're looking to solve other people's problems so we can feel fixed and feel better. We're looking to get something from others that can only come from God. Now, when we stay in the Spirit and we are letting our needs be met by God, and our spouse is also in the Spirit, or a friend, and we're both in the Spirit and we're both doing what we see our Father doing, there's not as much as of a rub. But when one person leaves the Spirit to go and sin, or leaves the Spirit to get defensive or critical, the question is, am I going to follow them codependently, or am I going to stay in the mind of the Spirit, which is life and peace? Because when I leave that place of submission to the Spirit, I come under the mind of the flesh, which is death and darkness. So codependency psychologically involves over-control and self-neglect, emotionally shame and fear of abandonment, spiritually idolatry of human approval, and also needing to get my needs for worth, love, and acceptance from a human being, rather than just enjoying that from them under the Spirit, but not needing them, the person, as my source, because I'm in the Spirit with Christ as my source. And behaviorally, it can look like rescuing, enabling, controlling. Transformation can look like self-regulation in Christ, boundaries set with Christ, secure identity in Christ, secure attachment to Christ, worship and trust in God, and carrying my own load and resting in that and helping other people carry excessive loads. Codependency looks like saying yes when your heart means no, feeling unsafe if someone is upset with you, and hypervigilant, often hypervigilantly looking for what's wrong and who's upset with you so that you can fix it and feel safe. Why? Because deep within, you have trauma from your childhood, from your past, from just being raised in this world where the devil is voraciously after our soul. And so you believe there's something wrong with you. You believe that you're not lovable, that you're not acceptable, and you're hypervigilantly looking for that evidence. And beloved, you are often finding it in places that it's not real. It's a facade, because you actually are already sitting in complete acceptance in Christ. It's like trying to get into a chair you're already sitting in. You already are holy and blameless and beloved in his sight. You already are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it also means rescuing, fixing, over-explaining, over-functioning, doing for others what they should be doing for themselves. And remember, we're fixing to try to fix the chaos so that we will feel okay. It's selfish ambition. Carrying guilt for other people's choices, believing that love equals self-erasure. Now, some of us are more quiet codependents, where we do all this secretly, we do all this quietly and suffer with this overgiving. Others of us hit this cycle where we resent and then explode, and then we go back into the false guilt. We're going to talk about this in a minute. So some people slowly drift away under the suffering and the weight of this overfunctioning. Others get into a cycle of resenting, blowing up, and then coming back under false guilt, trying, resenting, blowing up. So at the core, spiritually, codependency is disordered dependence, false worship. Our flesh bows to the idol of human love, human acceptance, human approval, and turns away from the living God as the source. Now, this is a slight tweak, because think about the Trinity. They love each other. They approve of each other. They flow together. They enjoy each other. However, They're not codependent. They don't get into blame, shame, hiding, persecuting, feeling like a victim, fixing. They don't get into all this unhealthy mess. So, how do we do this? Well, we enjoy people, but we do it in the spirit. And we love God more than the approval of humans. And so, when someone, even that we love dearly, leaves the spirit and goes in the wrong direction, we don't try to fix it for them, chase them. We biblically will confront them, we'll do the biblical things, but we're not leaving, staying in the Lord to chase after them. Whatever you crave most from people, remember this, whatever you crave most from people is exactly what God longs to give you. I'm going to talk about the first codependent moment as we wrap up this podcast episode. And then in next week's episode, we're going to talk about the triangle of pain. I'm going to share part of my story with my mother wound and my father wound. We're going to talk more about the symptoms of codependency, and I'm going to bring you into an encounter with the Lord. So, the first codependent moment in the garden. Adam and Eve lived in perfect dependence on the Father. Perfect dependence. Now, interestingly, Adam, when he was naming the animals, but he still kind of felt like something was missing. It wasn't until God brought Eve where he was like, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." So we do need each other, but we can, and in that we are to enjoy each other while staying under dependence and in obedience to the Father. Adam and Eve were fully known, fully safe, fully loved. They had everything they needed. And then the serpent whispered doubt. Did God really say? He spoke to Eve, the serpent did, and caused her to doubt God and even got her to doubt that they would surely die. So, anytime the enemy tempts you and says, "It won't be that bad, just do it," it's a lie because the lie is always, "You will not surely die," when sin does bring death. So, Eve thought that maybe God was holding out on her and that there was some kind of secret hidden knowledge that she could get. And so she partook of the fruit. She wanted to control her security, her source, her wisdom, her knowledge. So she moved under out of obedience to God and moved into an unhealthy control of her destiny. Now, Adam was under the spirit. Eve had taken. What happened? Adam left the spirit to chase Eve in her sin. So that I would call the first codependent act because he left dependence on God as primary and he went after his wife. He wanted to be with her in the sin, I hypothesize, more than he wanted to abide in the Lord. And right away, what happened? Blaming, hiding, feeling like a victim, shame. They were immediately experiencing death, and they were experiencing these problems we experience with codependency. It was as if Adam said, "If you leave me, I'll chase you. If you're angry, I'll fix you. If you withdraw, I'll lose myself to get you back." Beloved, thank Jesus that the cross reverses the garden. In next week's podcast, we're going to talk about how the cross reverses the garden. Today, though, let's read ahead just a bit into chapter 3 of Genesis, where the father prophesies that the snake's head will be crushed. The snake is crushed under the feet of Jesus, and therefore the snake of codependency is crushed under our feet. Jesus said to pray this, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." In heaven, there is no codependency. We can remain in peace. Jesus said, when you come into a house, let your peace rest there. And if they don't accept you, shake off the dust, roll up your peace back up, and take it with you. Beloved, you are the house of peace. That place of peace is your power. I want to encourage you today to come into the peace of God. If you've lost your peace, don't worry about accomplishing anything else other than getting your peace back. Coming into peace, that is your place of power. All right, let's do an encounter along those lines. And then to next week's podcast, we have so much more. And like I said, we're in the middle of a series. So there's just so much good. And I have an encounter for you in next week's podcast as well, where we're going to use a heart journey tool and do some self-parenting and having Jesus reparent and rescript some of your child parts. Okay. I wonder if you could close your eyes and imagine Jesus looking at you, loving you. I wonder if you can imagine Jesus seeing how the snakes of codependency are attaching themselves to you. And one by one, he crushes their heads and he heals your wounds and the places where they have bitten you. I wonder how you've identified with codependency in this talk as we've read these definitions, and I wonder what pain it's brought up. Honestly, there's such a desperation in the way that we chase human approval because we have trauma wounds and it hurts so much to face those wounds again. I wonder if you can go to a place where you have felt really wounded lately. Really wounded. And I wonder if you can identify what you feel in your body. What is the feeling you have in your body when you experience this deep hurt, this deep pain? Where is the lie, the venom that Satan is biting you with? And I wonder if you could imagine using your pneumatological imagination, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. I wonder if you can imagine Jesus coming into that place where the enemy, the serpent, has bit you. The serpent has deceived you. And what is the lie that's there? What is the lie that Satan has been biting you with? And I wonder if you could imagine Jesus plugging that place in your body to the vine and running through that very place of woundedness. I wonder if you could imagine the vine, the juices of the vine coming in to heal where that poison has impacted you. And the word of God flowing through you by his stripes, you are healed. Though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And just imagining all that yummy, amazing love of God flowing to those deep soul wounds, those deep, deep soul wounds. drinking in more of the Lord into that very place. Maybe you feel remorse or regret for where you've chased a relationship and you've realized it's not the Lord. I wonder if you could imagine calling back all those parts of you that you've given away into wholeness in Christ. Just say, parts, come on back in Jesus' name. Every part that I've given away in codependency, I call back to be fed of the vine. I wonder if you could imagine the Lord taking a giant eraser and erasing the lie that you're unworthy, that you're too much, that you're not enough, that no one will love you, erasing that lie and writing in that space, you are so easy to love. You are the beloved. Just drinking in more of his goodness. Wonderful, wonderful, beloved. Today, I have a free resource for you. You can go to drbarbaraministries.org/rejection, and I have 10 tools there for you to help you recover from rejection and these wounds of rejection that Satan and the world have inflicted. I love you, and I'll see you next week where we continue to talk about the cross and the cure for codependency. I can't wait to see you again. This is a series we're going to be doing for a bit. Codependency is rampant, and it was there in the Garden of Eden. If it was there as part of the cascade of first sins, it's in us, beloved, and it's something the cross has conquered. Satan is defeated under our feet. All praise be to Jesus. I love you, and I will see you in the next podcast. Make sure you're following me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and all the usual spaces, and YouTube. I'll see you the next time.